I'll take you out if you let me go. And I'm not letting you go till you say uncle, till you say you're going to stop. And I said, come on, man, let's do it. So finally his brother came in, Mike, and I threatened to kill him too. He was the older brother. And I ended up losing that fight. But I'll tell you this. Had I known that I was going to go into a battle that day, I would have prepared a little bit more. You know what I mean? I would have had me a bottle of water to add to the snowballs to make things fair, you know. I probably would have brought a couple of bocce balls. You guys know what bocce balls are? Yeah, or croquet balls. I maybe would have chucked a few of those at them, you know. I would have prepared for battle a little bit differently. When I think about preparing for battles, I kind of think like Rocky, you know. I think of being in a meat locker, punching some hanging meat, right? I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. I think of flipping some tractor tires or something along those lines. When I think about preparing for battle, I think about running up a long flight of stairs to the coolest music ever, you know. Dun-dun-dun. Yeah, all right, good. You guys are with me. When we think about preparing for battle, we think about everything we've got to do. But when it comes to the spiritual battles that we face, and listen, I don't know who you are, I don't know where you've been, but I do know that all of us have some spiritual battles that we fight. And sometimes we think our spiritual battles have to be prepared for in the same way that our physical battles are prepared for. But when we come to Ephesians chapter 6, God has given us a different way to fight the fights that we have. As a matter of fact, if we want to survive, we have to fight God's way. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 14 tells us a little bit about it. It says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." When we see this passage here, we talked about these last couple of weeks. He talks about if you're going to fight, you've got to have your loins girt about with truth. And we're not going to rehash all of that, but just let me suffice it to say this morning that if we want strength, loins in Scripture refer to strength. And he says, if you want to be able to have strength to fight, if you want to be prepared for battle, it's just like walking around with some sagging britches. I know bikers don't do that, but there are other people that do, okay? But if you want to fight, if you want to be all ready to run, you got to pull those britches up, put a belt on, you know, so you'll be ready to fight. The Bible says if we're going to be ready to fight spiritually, we've got to get our belts pulled up with truth. With truth. That's where our strength comes from. Strength comes from truth. The second thing he says, though, is to have a breastplate of righteousness. The loins are from your lower thigh up to about your belly button. Your breastplate would cover about your belly button up to your shoulders here. And what it refers to here is this is your vital organs. And he says, if you want to have protection in battle, you've got to cover up these vital organs, not with truth, but with righteousness. That's what it says in the verse. It says, have on a breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is perfect obedience to God's laws. And we certainly can't do that on our own, and that's why we need to walk in the Spirit. We talked about that last week, and so if you'd like to hear that, you can listen to it on our website. But this morning, we're going to move on to the next one. It's found in verse number 15, but before we look at that, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for the way that you speak to us through it. And Lord, I know that there are many battles that are represented here this morning, and each of those battles need to be fought your way. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to engage in the battle in the way that you would have us to engage in it. And I pray that you teach us from your word this morning. We ask, Lord, that you'd help each of us to have on our loins girt about with truth, to have on a breastplate of righteousness, and to have this next thing, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get on to that next verse, I brought a basket full here. This is what Ben was grabbing for me. As you can see here, there's a few different shoes in there. How many guys have at least that many pairs of shoes? Anybody? All right. All the women need to be raising their hand right there, all right? There you go. Let's be honest, okay? I thought about going through and grabbing all my wife's shoes, but then I've been giving her a hard time while I've been preaching lately, and I figured I better, you know, cut my losses while I can. So I brought some of my own shoes. When you look at these shoes here, shoes are an important part of life. You know, I've got these shoes. Anybody know what these shoes are used for? What are those shoes used for? Being out of the water, right? Those are water shoes. How about these shoes? When it's cold out, when it's snowing, let's see. How about these shoes? You can tell what those shoes are used for. Mowing the yard, right? Okay, and so you've got all kinds of different shoes for different times, for different things. And, of course, I'm a preacher, right? So I don't use these very often. You know what those are used for, right? Real work, all right? No, I'm just kidding. But we see that shoes are very important. You know, if I chose to walk on stage without shoes this morning, I might look kind of goofy. If I chose to come without shoes this morning, I I really wouldn't want to go in any of the restrooms, to be quite honest with you. You ever think about that? I see your kids running around and that kind of thing, barefoot, and I think, stay out of the bathroom, all right? When you think about shoes, they are very important. And if shoes are important to us as we go to church or as we mow our yard or as we go on a jog, imagine how important they are for a soldier. Because ultimately, when you look at Ephesians chapter 6, he's writing it with this idea of a soldier in mind. And he tells them to have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he's talking about putting on a certain pair of shoes here. So think about how important shoes are to military. The military successes of Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar were largely accredited to their army's footwear, which enabled them to march longer, faster, and on rougher terrain than their enemies. During the Civil War, shoes and boots were so valuable that special missions were made to procure them. They were even pulled off the feet of dead men on the bloodstained battlefields and were used by prisoners to barter for supplies such as food and tobacco. The man who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo certainly knew the value of proper footwear. When asked what equipment was most important to a soldier, the Duke of Wellington replied, "First, a good serviceable pair of shoes. Second, another good serviceable pair of shoes. And third, a pair of half soles." And so when you think about shoes in regards to the military, very, very important. And remember, when we look at Ephesians chapter 6, there's a comparison being drawn between the believer and the soldier. And this next piece of armor is our footwear. I want you to see it in chapter 6 and verse 15. He says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." When you look at this verse here, when he talks about shod, he's just saying to be putting them on. What kind of shoes are we supposed to be putting on our feet here? He says here the kind of shoes is the preparation of the gospel of peace. What in the world does that mean? Have you ever read that? You ever read a portion of the Bible and thought, I have no idea what that means. I know I'm supposed to do it. I don't know what it means. That's kind of how I felt about this when you read it the first time. Having your feet, I mean, I probably memorized it, you know, when I was younger as a child during the Sunday school thing, but never really stopped to think about what it means to put on shoes that are prepared with the gospel of peace. So let's talk about it for a second. Preparation means to make ready or to get something, to get everything ready for. With this many shoes, you understand that there are different shoes that call for different times, right? What is it that we're to be ready to do, though? What are we supposed to be prepared for, according to this verse? Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel means good tidings. The good tidings of what? The good tidings of peace. How many of you guys like peace? Remember, I get talking really fast like this, and then I just stop and say, peace. Doesn't that feel good? Does that feel good for you? When it's nice and quiet just for a moment. How many of you ladies have kids at home still? You just like to have some peace and quiet. Those of you that are grandparents and the grandkids come over and they're there for way too long, and then when they leave, you just want to have peace. The Bible says here that we need to have shoes on that are preparing us with the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace here is the gospel that this world needs to hear, and that is what the Bible tells us later on in the New Testament. He tells us that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You guys know who Jesus Christ was, right? He was the Son of the living God who left heaven, who came to earth, and he dwelled here on earth for 33 years, and then he died on a cross that he did not deserve to die on. But he died literally for us, because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. What we deserve because we're sinners. And look, I know, I'm looking out here. I'm seeing some rough characters, especially this guy right here with the red bandana, right? And I tell you, it doesn't take a whole lot of convincing to convince me that I've made some mistakes. And I hope that you're not that kind of person that's sitting in your chair going, yeah, you're right, preacher, you probably have, but I hadn't. The Bible says, for all have sinned. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Can I tell you something that will bring peace? It's the gospel. You know, over this last week, my father-in-law lost his sister. She had cancer, and she was struggling with that for a number of weeks, several months. And we knew it was coming at some point. But as he got a chance to talk to her, you know, something that has brought him some peace over these last few hours is the fact that as he talked to her, she shared with him how she knew that she knew where she was going. She shared with him how that she had placed her faith in Jesus Christ, and even though she was a sinner, and even though she deserved death, and even though she deserved punishment, she called upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you, when you walked in this morning, I don't know what you were expecting, and we've got some other fun things planned, but I want to tell you the greatest thing that we have to offer here at Grace Baptist Church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel is that Jesus loved you so much that he died for you, and that he one day is going to come back again, and when he comes, he wants to take you with him. And even though we're sinners, and even though we're depraved, and even though we do things that often we regret and we know are wrong, God says, I love you anyway. There is nowhere that you can run where you outrun the grace of God. I don't care if you grew up in church and you ran away from it. I don't care if you've never even been in a church. The Bible says that you cannot outrun the grace of a loving God. If he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, don't you think he'd be willing to forgive us of whatever we've done? That's what the Word of God teaches. And whenever we believe that gospel, when we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says that we go from being the enemies of God to being the friend of God, to being the sons of God. I'm thankful that I'm a child of the living God, and that brings peace. You know, we prepare for a lot of things in this world, and I know that many of you got prepared as you got ready for Biker Sunday today. How many of you guys are wearing some clothes you normally don't wear on a Sunday, all right? I figured there's a few of you. You got to do some preparing. So some folks are like me. This leather gets worn once a year. All right, Sam Balance, right back there, he's telling me the last time that he put on that leather back there, and I'm not going to say how many years or pounds ago that was, but he was saying he had to let out the sides a little bit, all right? He had to prepare for it. And you know, we prepare for a lot of things, but can I tell you, there are some people, I believe, this morning that are not prepared for eternity. You know, I'm 30-something years old, and I don't know if the Lord will allow me to live one more day or one more century. I don't know what God has on the plate for me, but I do know that one of these days I'll step into eternity. And eternity is a long time to not be prepared for. And I hope that this morning, as I came in, I brought these shoes and I put on this leather, but can I tell you what I came prepared to do? I came with my feet prepared to share with you the gospel of peace. Listen, Jesus Christ loves you. And he wants you to know for certain that you'll spend eternity with him. He wants you to be able to spend the rest of your days here on this earth walking with him. He wants to offer you peace. And I hope that if you've never called upon the name of the Lord, that today would be the day. But one of the things I think that is important for us to remember when we look at this passage is this, is that many of us here this morning have already trusted Christ. I did that when I was 8 years old. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And many of you did it as a young child. Some of you did it as a teenager. Some of you later on in life. And that's great. Praise the Lord for it. But can I tell you that if we have called on the name of the Lord and you know you're saved, you know what we need to be prepared to do? The same thing I just did a few minutes ago. We need to be prepared with the gospel of peace, prepared to share that with others. It doesn't simply say our feet shod with gospel of peace. It says to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Can I tell you this? If you're an unbeliever this morning, I need to apologize to you on behalf of some of us believers. Because a lot of us believers have been prepared to share with you a lot of things. We've been prepared to share with you all the things that you're doing wrong. We've been prepared to point out the areas that we're better than you. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You ever been around one of these believers? On behalf of unbelievers, on behalf of believers, I need to apologize to some unbelievers because there are some people that have yet to come to Jesus Christ because of some of the things we've been prepared to share with others. Can I tell you what we need to share with those that do not know Jesus Christ? It's not what your stance is on smoking and drinking. It's not what your stance is on homosexuality. It's not what your stance is on how often people need to be in church or what they ought to wear, what they ought not say. You know what we need to be prepared to share with them? The gospel of peace. The thing that will bring peace to anyone is not someone stopping cussing. The thing that will bring peace to someone is not taking a stand against homosexuality. The thing that will bring peace to someone is not coming to church every Sunday. The thing that will bring peace is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whenever I allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to come into my life and I begin to allow it to transform my life, the Bible says that he will bring me peace. And for those of us today that are believers, may we be prepared to go out of this place today and go into the world and share, to be prepared with the gospel, not with all of the other things that are out there. It's so important. Why should I do that? Because it offers some protection. You know why I wear these shoes? Because my wife says they look cool. That's why I wear these shoes, all right? How many of you guys think they look kind of not cool? Yeah, I figured there'd be a few. We call those boat shoes. My brother's got a pair that looks something like this, and he saw a millionaire wearing them one time, so he calls them his millionaire shoes when he wears them. These are Skechers. These are the Dollar-an-Air or 100-Air shoes, all right? But anyway, you know what happens when you put those shoes on? It offers you protection. Can I tell you what will happen if we'll do what God tells us to do in this passage? If we'll be prepared to share the gospel with people, to tell people that God loves them and that God wants to save them and God wants to change their lives and he wants them to live with them eternity, can I tell you what will happen? It'll protect you. You know why it'll protect you as a believer? Because you're constantly thinking about heaven. You're constantly thinking about the souls of men. You're constantly thinking about what it's going to be like someday to be with our Savior. And if you find someone that is constantly walking around and asking, I wonder if Haley knows Jesus Christ as her Savior. You know, I wonder if Joe, probably not Joe, but... I'm just kidding, Joe. I wonder if Kevin knows you. And you're constantly walking around looking for people to share the good news with. It brings you safety just like a good pair of shoes does. It's putting on a good pair of steel-toe spiritual boots whenever we do that. But what happens a lot of times, we don't walk in safety because we're not really concerned about other people's souls. We're not really concerned about sharing the gospel. Let me ask you this. If your sister was dying just like Kevin's was, would you be able to share with her the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm not talking to unbelievers, I'm talking to believers this morning. Are you prepared with the gospel of peace? We can survive without shoes. When I grew up, I lived in Tennessee for a number of years, and I ran around barefooted, because that's what you do in Tennessee, right? And we had a gravel road, and I got to a point where I could run down that gravel road, and it wouldn't hurt my feet at all. How many of you guys have calloused feet, and you can do that even today, all right? There's all the rednecks, okay? They're all raising their hand. So, yeah, can you survive without shoes? Yeah. But you know what? There was a few times where I was running around without shoes, had calloused feet, and I could run on gravel, but come up on a nail. You can ever step on a nail before? I don't care how calloused your feet are. That nail's going to hurt you. Let me tell you something. Can you live the Christian life without sharing the gospel, without ever inviting anyone to church, without ever leaving a gospel invitation? Can you do that? Yeah, you can. But you know what? You're not going to have the protection that comes when we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's why Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. We don't, just as we don't go without shoes, let's not go without sharing the gospel. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18 says this. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. And for me, here's what I want you to pray for me, Paul told them, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This morning is a simple message. I'm a simple preacher, all right? Simple message. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure that if you were to die today that heaven would be your home, what you need to do is believe the gospel. Call upon the name of the Lord. If you are a believer, then what we need to do is pray as Paul prayed. Paul said, hey, you want to pray something for me? Don't pray that I get a new job, and don't pray that I have, I'm a better husband or a better wife. He says, I guess Paul wouldn't ask to be a better wife, but you follow my line of reasoning here, okay? He says, pray that I would have boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel. How many of us know it's hard sometimes to talk about spiritual things? We can talk about the Cardinals and the Cubs with a Cardinal or a Cubs fan. You can talk about the weather. How many of you guys talked about the rain over the last few days? Sure. Bring up Jesus. See how that conversation goes. Yeah, that's like bringing up Obama or something, you know, no matter where you stand on it. You bring up Obama, it gets automatically awkward. Right now, some of you are going, I can't believe he just said Obama in church. That's right. And you get outside of church and people go, Jesus, what do you want to talk about Jesus for? Because our eternity depends on what we believe about him. Listen, this ain't a Baptist thing. This ain't a church thing. This is a Jesus thing. When Jesus Christ died, he died for you. The person sitting in your seat right now. Because he loves you. He wants to save you. It doesn't matter where you've gone, where you've been, what you've done. God wants to save you if you'll let him. And those of us that have been saved, he wants to use us as tools to reach those that have not been. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this word, and I thank you for the way that you speak to us through it. I pray now, Lord, as we come into a short invitation time, I pray that you would allow us to understand the importance of the gospel. Lord, my